Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Today we begin a brand new conversation, an eight-part series entitled Kids, Dating, and Marriage. Bethley and I are eager to get this one started, so we're glad you've joined us today. Well, someone reached out to me again recently and said, hey, we have children and we have a lot of questions about this dating. How did you guys do it? What rules, what standards? How did you help your children to play the dating game or not play the dating game? And what did you do to help your children, three so far, get to marriage? It's a valid question.
Such a good question. There's a lot of prayer, a lot of grace.
A whole lot of prayer. And there's even some of that is like, you know, sometimes we have to stop and think, wow, what did we do? How did we make this happen? And you moms and dads understand that because life's so busy and you know, the daily part of living is just life.
There are things that you get in your mind when you have little ones that you think this is how it's going to go and it doesn't matter what happens on the outside of this house. This is what we're going to do. And then real life happens and you have to either pray through your philosophy of dating and reevaluate your philosophy of dating, maybe come up with a new philosophy of dating, or maybe just do the hard thing as a parent and say, no, this is what we do. Absolutely. In our family.
And we do. So here's Dating and Marriage, Our Family Story.
This is going to be a long podcast.
It could be. We get these questions often, though. What do you do about dating? And what do you do to help your older ones get to the wedding?
Right.
And those are valid, valid questions. So here's some beginning thoughts. Let's just jump into some beginning thoughts.
All righty.
And this one's so important, but it needs to be said. Dating is not in the Bible. But don't miss this. Neither is courting.
No.
The two options we find all the time on the road is people either practice dating or people can sometimes, some of us who are a little more concerned, be like, you know, well, we don't do the dating thing. We believe in courting.
Right.
But I've come to the conclusion that dating isn't in the Bible and neither is courting.
Neither is courting.
In fact, finding a spouse is not discussed specifically in the Bible. He says some things like, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, which implies that marriage is going to take some searching because finding implies I looked for a wife and found the wife.
True.
He does say that marriage is honorable in all, so we know that the Bible is very pro-marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Paul even says it's better to marry than to burn with passion.
Mm-hmm.
Some might even take that to be it's better to marry than to be burned, because I was reading in Proverbs, maybe a comparative and companion passage there, where he says, he that goes into a woman he shouldn't go into, you know, the adulterous woman.
Yes, yes.
He will have his, you know, his feet burn with hot coals and so
forth.
Yes, it's
like going on hot coals. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. And so finding a spouse is not discussed specifically. And so here's what I did. I went through the Bible and I thought of all the ways in the Bible, illustrations in the Bible of how they found a wife. And actually, it's kind of shocking. If you go to the book of Genesis, apparently Cain married his sister.
Yes.
And that's a little shocking.
We don't do that in this culture.
Nope. Abraham, who was very wealthy, got his servant and sent his servant and said, now I want you to go to our relatives and I want you to find a wife for my son.
Right.
And so I remember teasing our kids a couple of times along the way about we could go visit some relatives and get you a spouse.
Oh, dear.
But we don't have a servant to send. So
we don't have a servant.
You know, so that kind of ruled that one out. That's a different one.
Sometimes it's illegal to marry your family.
That's true. But a lot of folks, and I don't say this to, you know, to attack anybody, but a lot of folks will use the story of Abraham as the model. But it is a little difficult in the sense that the model breaks down if you take it all the way because
you can't do it literally.
We don't do the servants. We certainly wouldn't send them to our relatives.
No.
The one lesson maybe we can learn from it is that moms and dads can certainly have a massive amount of influence on who their children marry.
True.
That may be there. Well, here was Jacob later in the book of Genesis. He worked 14 years or 7 years each to purchase two sisters to be his wives.
Mm-hmm. And then he also married their servants.
I don't recommend that method either. David, this one's a little tricky, so hang with me here.
David killed, turn it off for your kids.
David killed 200 Philistines and offered their foreskins as a dowry to King Saul in order to marry his daughter, Michal. That would be a very strange request to make of your future son-in-law.
At least the Bible indicates that she already loved him and wanted to marry him.
She already
did.
So
he didn't need to do that for her, just for her dad.
Just for King Saul. The Benjamites in the book of Judges, they stole their wives at a festival celebration. I think it was 600 of them, actually.
And so they broke
here,
up.
Let's go down to this party, and you boys just run in there and grab yourself a wife.
And then the other folks that sent them in said, if the people at the party get upset, we'll defend you with our army. And even one of the other that's kind of an odd one is when God told Hosea to marry an adulterous woman who would later become a prostitute. Mm. These are how the Bible describes all these ways of finding a wife.
Right.
And most of them are very odd to us.
Right.
And probably are not the norm.
No, we do know from scripture in that time that many times women were purchased in marriage, and it was just to make an alliance, whether that be a political alliance or a financial alliance or just an alliance for a relationship with family, whether it be for land or whatever. We do know from the story of Ruth that she had a kinsman redeemer. That's a beautiful story. But also a little weird in that Ruth went and kind of proposed to Boaz in the middle of the night as she was laying at his feet, which is, you know, another discussion.
Unique story.
Unique story. And there are cultures around the world, I think, today that still would offer their daughters as some type of political alliance, financial alliance. But in America, and certainly in the Christian realm, we don't do that.
Yeah, you know, and even in the book of Corinthians, when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, a lot of men there would have had more than one wife, one to take care of the cooking, one to take care of the kids, one to handle the clothing, one to take care of the goats.
Is that what they all? I just wondered, yeah, why would you have that many wives?
It was, and even in the Arab world, in some places where they have multiple wives, that's why. The wives are assigned different roles. They marry a wife to take care of different roles in their particular family situation. And one of the things Paul addressed in the book of Corinth was that they were not, they didn't marry a wife for married relations. They had the temple prostitutes to where the sexual relations took place.
Right.
And it was not even part of the equation often in relation to a wife. And so it was, Paul addressed all of that and promotes marriage, which is what we want to promote. We are believers.
Right.
And as Christians, we want to do everything we can to help our children to navigate the world they live in.
Yes.
And to end up in a happy marriage relationship.
So basically what we're saying through this introduction is that while we do have biblical principle to jump off of, there is not a set command or even illustration in scripture that we can follow literally in order to make sure that our children grow up and get married in the right way.
Yeah, and I think the reason that's so is because the Bible is timeless.
Right.
And culture changes.
Yes.
And so that God gives us general principles rather than specifics that in some cultures, the specifics would have been very out there and awkward and almost impossible to follow.
Yes.
So a lot of what we've learned is going through the Bible is learning general principles and obedience to specific commands that are applied to those principles.
Right.
That by God's grace and God's help so far has helped our children to navigate this issue of dating relations, courting relations, and also to help prepare them for marriage.
Yes.
All right, now let's talk about this dating and marriage as it relates to how we did it in our family. How did we handle dating?
Yes.
And how has it helped us to prepare our kids for marriage? So let's give the first answer.
Okay, first answer. This actually is based on a sermon that David preaches to teenagers, but we are going to reinvent it, I guess, for you as parents.
Yes.
And so the first thing that we teach our children is don't date, wait.
In other words, we would say that as a sentence, we don't date.
Right.
We wait. Or another way of saying that is that in our family, we decided that we would not allow our children to play the dating game. Instead, we would prepare our children for marriage.
Yes.
Now, that's a huge difference.
Yes, it is.
In other words, we're not against boy-girl relationships at all. In fact, we taught our children this. We taught our children to like everybody.
Yes.
So that we would say to our boys, and as we'd cross the country, there were, you know, always girls that would catch their eye, and especially girls in which our son would catch their eye. And so we just said to our boys, never, you know, lock yourself into a single focus relationship when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, or 9, or 18, or sometimes when you're 20. Just like everybody.
Yes.
That's the whole point of don't date. It's just like everybody. Get to know all of them. Be friends with everybody.
Yes.
Learn how people are and be friends with them. You can make a ton of friendships that way with a whole lot less baggage if you'll just like everybody.
Yes.
And not lock yourself
and
in.
And learn how the male-female relationship is different. It is amazing to me talking to our married children now or even older kids where sometimes someone around their age will be surprised by how guys are different from girls and vice versa. Yeah. And our kids are just like, duh, she's a girl or duh, he's a guy. Yeah. That's how they are. And they learned that not by locking themselves into, I like you, do you like me relationship when they were 14. They learned that by just being friends with
people. And I'm yours and nobody else has a right to us.
Yes.
And one of the things that our children, I think, learn in that is that some of the issues in life, sometimes in a marriage counseling situation, somebody will say, well, my wife is da-da-da-da-da-da. And often the point there is not that your wife is that way, it's that she's a woman and all women are that way.
Right.
And it's not just that your husband is that way, it's that he's a guy, all guys are that way. That changes your perspective.
It does.
So we wanted our children to not be a part of, don't play the dating game. Instead, use your teenage years, especially these years, to prepare for marriage.
Right.
And that's a whole different situation. We don't date, we don't let our kids date until they are ready to be a spouse.
Right.
And ready to find a spouse.
Yes.
and you may be ready to find a spouse before you're ready to be a spouse. Well, then the dating doesn't make sense.
Right.
There's no reason to date and have that exclusive one-on-one intense emotional relationship.
Right.
Unless you're ready to be that person's spouse and unless they are ready also to be a spouse.
Right.
And so this was just our thinking process. We taught our kids early. Yeah, we don't date. We're not playing that dating game.
Right.
So our children never had that little thing about, oh my goodness, she's mine and he's mine and we're alone and we're the only ones.
We always sit together in youth group. We always sit together in Sunday school. No.
And we also taught our kids in light of that, that your best friend as a guy should be another guy.
Yes.
And as a girl, your best friend should be another girl.
And that is one of the things, too, that teenage dating relationship, it will take away from. You don't get to develop those strong girl and girl relationship, guy and guy relationship. Yeah,
and those are important.
That's They're very important.
Very important part of life. So for us, the dating game was if we could even use that, the courting, the dating situation. Sometimes I'll joke with teenagers, they'll say, do you believe in dating or courting? And I'll say, neither. I believe in dorting. and they always roll their eyes at me on that one. But for us, college is the beginning of that process of dating.
Right.
And for us, because we believe so strongly in Christian college education, and this is just an aside here, I know sometimes our Christian school parents, once their children are finished with a Christian school, they fight so hard for the Christian school, then they're like, well, you know what? We don't believe in Christian college education. We want our kids to go to a secular education. And oftentimes they undo everything they've laid a groundwork for.
Right.
But for us, we homeschooled our children. Some would say it's because you travel all the time and it was the only way. Maybe in the early days that was true. But as our children, as we became more familiar with the benefits of our homeschooling and how we could see our children and work with them on an individual basis and disciple them in the process, homeschooling became a real strong point for us. We don't think it's the only way. We don't fight with you about it.
Oh,
we
no.
don't make a big deal about it, but it is strong to us. And it culminates with a Christian college education.
Right.
We have discovered that almost any major, if not any major, that is worth having can be attained at a Christian college.
Absolutely.
And here's how that works for us. A Christian college environment is a controlled environment, especially the Christian colleges that we would choose.
Right.
And that controlled environment even helped me in Bethley. We attended Pensacola Christian College, a controlled environment, arguably more strict in those days than today.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
But still they're very conservative.
Yeah, still conservative. Yes. But for us, it was wonderful. We look back at it. We had the privilege of, we could have all kinds of conversations.
Yes.
All kinds of events together in an environment that protected our purity, protected our relationship, protected our testimony.
Yes.
And so for us, it started with a Christian college. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was part one in our 8-part series entitled Kids, Dating, and Marriage. Join us next time for part two. Remember Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.